You know,
there are some things that take place. Well, let me just tell you my personal experience. I'm convicted by the Word of God. I'm convicted. I see the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I saw what the man Christ Jesus did. And I'm a disciple. I proclaim that I'm a disciple. You know, when Jesus went into the water, he said he fulfilled righteousness there. I went into the water. I followed him. I followed him. And you know what? It's not a Sunday follow. It's not every Sunday. Brethren, it's every day of our lives. It's an opportunity to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Him only. He is the only Savior. Besides him, there's none other. He's the Lord, our righteousness. He has been proclaimed from generation to generation. And what a privilege it has been for me in my convicted memory and the things that take place in my life that I've been able to say. From time to time, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of him. You know what? I'm proud of Jesus. I'm proud of what he is. What he is this day. What he is forever. I'm in the book of John. I'm in the ninth chapter. A remarkable incident in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came, the scriptures say he passed by. Well, you know what? We all pass by, don't we? We all pass by. But brother, we need to pass by like Jesus passes by. It says, the ninth, right? I'm not going to be mindful of the time. I am going to be. It says, and as Jesus passed by. It says, and there. I said I'm trying to do a chronological study. It says, and. But you know what? I think there's some time passed here. But John, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants you to know something. He's setting context here. Isn't that what we say? We say, boy, you need to understand the scriptures and you need to take them in their context to understand what the text is teaching. Here we go to the beginning of the seventh chapter. It says... it says after these things, I find in a study after these things, that's 2 years. Now in Jerusalem there's a temple. Now there is a temple that is it Zerubbabel that built that temple and Herod's remodeling it the first time Jesus went there, he said it's a house of merchandise. Now later on in his ministry, he's going to go back to this temple. And he said he's going to say it's a den of thieves. He came unto his own and his own received him not. That's what the scriptures tell us. In the 13th chapter of the book of, it's the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. And Jesus tells this parable. He says, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Jesus is looking for fruit now. He's looking for fruit. You see, it's a convicting. It's a convicting scripture, isn't it? Because he's looking for fruit here. He's looking for fruit here. It's to proclaim his name now. To proclaim his name. To be bold. To be bold. You know, there is no measure of the boldness of the world now. There is nothing that they will not say and call it light when it's absolute darkness now. But we as the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to walk in the light. We need to walk in the light. And brethren, he is the light. He is the light. And so I'm convicted by that. I'm convicted by that. You know, I measure myself. I measure myself. You know what? I take the law and I say, Lord, help me. I'm lost without a Savior. I'm lost without a Savior. You see, that's what we need to proclaim is the Lord Jesus Christ and him only, him only. You know, I have no works that are, you know, do you believe that God rewards good works?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Sure he does. Absolutely. Do you know how he does that? By grace. Mm-hmm. It's by grace. It's all of grace now. It's him and him only. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard. Oh, boy, there were a lot of dressers in Jerusalem. There were a lot of dressers in Jerusalem. He says, behold, these 3 years... 3 years, I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it on the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone till this year, till I should dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. You see why Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. He's coming to Jerusalem to dung it, to dig about it, that it might bear fruit. There is absolutely no excuse for not bearing fruit. There's no excuse for it. I said I was going to do the ninth. And as Jesus passed by, you know, I said, Jesus passes by different than I pass by. And I'm ashamed of it. I've been convicted by this scripture. You know, there's a lot of people nowadays that are sitting on the side of the road. They're just sitting there. And we pass by them, don't we? We pass by them. You know, Jesus was talking to a young man. And boy, he had a grasp. He had a grasp of the understanding that Jesus... But he said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told him this parable of this man that thieves had fallen upon. You know, a Levite went by. He passed by. And he went on the other side. A priest passed by. And he went on the other side. But a Samaritan, he bore him up and took him to an inn. He dressed his wounds and he gave money to the innkeeper to care for him until he returned. And he said, if it's more than that, I'll give it to you when I come back. You see, there's a difference. It is that he saw the man. He saw the man. And that's what it says about what happened here. That's what we need to do. We need to see our neighbors. We need to look upon our neighbors. And he says this, and as Jesus passed by, I saw a man which was blind from his birth. Let me state the very obvious. Very obvious. The man didn't see him. Now, his disciples were with him. And you know, this, they must have been taken with the way Jesus looked at the man. They must have been taken with that. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You know how much compassion is in that? Absolutely none. There's no compassion in that whatsoever. You know what Jesus was in? Was going to the tomb of Lazarus. He saw the Jews about him, and they were all weeping. And this is the shortest scripture in the Bible. When I was third grade, there was this little church right in the neighborhood, and we'd all go down there on Wednesday nights, and they'd give us cookies and Kool-Aid. And they asked us to memorize the scripture. Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. And one boy, he always went in there and he said, his scripture was always, "Jesus wept." You know what I thought, this pastor? I thought he'd get tired of that after a while. But you know, he didn't. He always loved that scripture, just like I love that scripture. You see, Jesus had compassion. He had compassion, and he wept with those. There's no compassion here from his disciples. You know, Jesus was in Caesarea Philippi, and he said to his disciples, he said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they answered, "Some think you're John the Baptist. Some think you're Elias or Jeremiah. Or some think you're that prophet." You know, there was not one that said he was the Messiah. Not one said he was the Messiah. But he asked them, "Whom do ye say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art my..." Oh, I love Peter. I love him. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You know what? They didn't know what the Christ was. Not yet. They didn't know. Have you ever passed by with somebody and say, "Well, I wonder what they did to get themselves in that situation." You ever done that? I have. I say, what did they do that they wound up in that situation? You see, I'm no different than them. I'm convicted in my heart by this scripture, what I should do, what I'm taught to do. You see, Jesus didn't leave me rudderless in this society. He has left you lost. Rather, the world is lost. You know your destination, and you know who's leading the way. Jesus answered, I need to sit down.
Jesus answered, he says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him.
What about me? What about you? Should the works of God be made manifest in you? Amen.
We're the just, you know, I'm an old Baptist. I'm an old Baptist. And I believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now I'm about my work. And that's to follow him. You know, in the 8th chapter, Jesus is talking to some Jews. And let me see this. They answered and said unto him. This is the Jews speaking to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they don't like anything he does. Anything he says. They don't like anything about him. They don't like anything about him. You know, they still don't. I'm talking about the world now. I'm not talking about the world. You know, in the 7th chapter of the book of John, you'll discover that the half-brothers of the Lord Jesus Christ, they encourage him to go to Jerusalem during the feast, the Easter Tabernacles, and show himself. And they use the term to the world. And I looked at that and I thought, they talked about going to Jerusalem as going to the world. I thought, is there something there that I look at? You know what? When I come to church, I'm leaving the world and coming in to the kingdom, the manifest kingdom. Now, I want you to understand the kingdom's always right there. It's right there with my heart now. I've got to go on. He says, I'm going to read that. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto him, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, what were the works of Abraham? You know, we need to look at what were the works of Abraham. He left his family and he went to a place the Lord told him to go. But there was something before that. There was a work before that. He believed God. He believed God. Brethren, that's a work. That's a work. Now, I don't care what anybody else says, but if they look in my heart, they know that's a work. And I'm working at it. I'm working at it. We need to work at it. You know, here in the 6th chapter of John, Jesus says that specifically. He says, then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Rather, it's a work. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. You see, that's what the first work of Abraham was. That's what my first work, that's what your first work is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, and then, when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it escalates from there. It escalates from there. As long as I'm in the world. Well, I skipped a verse there. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. Now, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. You know, in a few days, if I live, in a few days, I'll be 79 years old. You see, what I'm saying is I can see the sun setting. You see, I can see the sun setting. So every day is important now. Every day is important. When I get up in the morning, you know, it say, well, you know, I can see the sun over there setting in my life. I need to work the works that the Lord Jesus Christ has given me to do.
That's to obey him and keep his commandments, to believe in the Messiah, the Lamb of God. He says, and I've got to go on. He says,
while he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and anointed the eyes of a blind man with clay.
Brethren, there's no better way to blind someone than to fill their eyes with clay. You know what? I've heard recommendations that, that was something special about the clay and something that healed this man naturally.
Brethren, if that was so, you could go down and buy this clay at Rite Aid. That's what it would be.
Why did Jesus do this? Why did Jesus heal like this? I don't know why he did this. But you know what? I don't question what he does. I just rejoice in the knowledge that he's given me of what he's done. You see, that's what it is. That's what this life is about. He says, why did Elijah tell Naaman to go wash in the Jordan 7 times, dip himself 7 times? Brethren, I've seen pictures of the Jordan, and it don't look sweet. It does. It's muddy, the pictures I've seen. But you know what? When he did what he was told, he saw a great victory in himself now. When Jesus went into the home of Jairus, they lapped him to scorn now, and he put them all out. Except the mother and father and Peter, James, and John. Yeah. All those that laughed, they didn't see the great work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon Jairus' daughter. They didn't see it. Yeah. How many of us are so taken with the world that we don't see God working? God working.
When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore,
I thought about that. He tells this man, he anoints his eyes with the clay. He tells him, you go wash in the pool of Siloam. Jesus doesn't go with him. He goes and washes the pool of Siloam. What's the first, and this is conjecture, but I like it. What's the first thing he wants to see? What is the first thing that this man who was born blind wants to see? His mom and dad. That's who he wants to see. That's the reason the scriptures tell us the neighbors. He went home. He went home.
He says, the neighbors therefore, and they which had seen him that was blind, said, is not he that sat and begged?
You see, there's nothing he could do. He was a blind man.
The neighbors,
some of our neighbors, there's nothing they can do.
He says, the neighbors, therefore, and they which had seen him before that he was blind, said, is not he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. And others said, he's like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? And I'll close with this. He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' I went and washed, and I received sight."
No, he didn't know who Jesus was. He said, "A man that is called Jesus." He didn't know who Jesus was.
But you know what? Jesus knew who he was.
"Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Brethren, that's our lives. Saved by the sweet grace. You know, I could go into talk about no, but I'm not going to talk about no. I'm going to sit down. But what a wonderful blessing we have. You know, some people think, like I said, we're rudderless. And they think we're not only rudderless in the world, that we're rudderless here. We've got to come up with our own. And Jesus, in the scriptures, has laid out exactly how this is to take place. He's not left anything to chance or anything to our vain imaginations. He knows us. He knows us. I hope you'll consider that this morning.